And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
You know, I think your brain produces a chemical that blocks out my voice.
What?
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Santa Barbara and Ventura Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is leaders. Each of my guests is discussing leadership or a leader in his particular field. My next guest asks the age-old question, why are we bad at picking good leaders? He's looked at hundreds of attributes of leaders to determine which ones are the most reliable predictors of good leadership. Just in time for the 2012 elections, we'll discuss a better way to evaluate leadership potential from his book titled, Why are we bad at picking good leaders? And as always, if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Jeffrey Kahn is a successful succession planning and executive assessment expert. Previously, Jeff was with Spencer Stuart, which is a top executive recruiting firm, a research fellow at Harvard Business School, and a chief executive at the Leadership Institute at Yale. Jeff lives and works in New York City, and joining us from there, hi, Jeff, how are you today?
I'm doing well, although I wish I was out in your neck of the woods. I know it's not nice there today, but I tell you, we've had enough rain to last a lifetime out here over the last week.
Well, it has been both a rough winter, and now it looks like it's turning into a rough spring. So we don't envy you the weather, but of course, New York is the capital of so many different things. You're lucky to be where you are. So let's dive into it, because I love your book, and it is very timely as we start to evaluate the 2012 presidential election and, of course, all the other elections that go along with that. You hear comments like, you know, the president's doing a lousy job, or those bankers on Wall Street, they ruined the economy. I mean, it really doesn't matter whether it's politics, business, and organizations or charities. Why are we so bad at picking good leaders?
Great question. You know, it's really interesting. We're smart people. We really want to pick great leaders, but we actually end up focusing on all the wrong things. We'll look at a candidate and we'll see, you know, a fancy Ivy League education or a charming personality or charisma and even experience, frankly. And all these things are very poor predictors of future success. You know, so charisma can be very seductive. Someone could be a great talker or a great debater. But the question is, it really begs the question, can they lead? Can they lead in an unfamiliar, complex environment where they're facing challenges that they haven't seen before? And unfortunately, you know, charisma and personality, as nice as they are, don't really give you much guidance into how that person's going to do on the job when they're facing new, tough, complex, novel business situation or any kind of situations they haven't seen before.
Well, Jeffrey, that's an interesting point, and it really does put us in a conundrum because, and let's just use the President of the United States as an example, you don't know what or how a person is going to react in the role as President of the United States before the person is actually put into that position. For example, we didn't know that John Kennedy would stand up to the Russians in the Cuban Missile Crisis but flub it so badly with the Bay of Pigs. We didn't know that Richard Nixon was going to be the paranoid person that he was and tape all those conversations, which ultimately led to Watergate. You've done some remarkable work, and you've looked at the hundreds of qualities that leaders have, and you've determined that there are about seven necessary qualities to succeed. So let's dive into that, if we can, and talk about those seven qualities, and then we'll come back and we'll look at some real-world examples, if we can. So, Jeffrey, what are some of the most necessary qualities that we need to look for in our leaders?
Well, it all starts, and I'm glad that you mentioned Richard Nixon. He was a phenomenal leader. You know, he was obviously one of the first folks to really pursue relations with China at a time when people didn't even realize that China was ever going to be on the map, and look at them now. So he had tremendous foresight, tremendous vision. He was, you know, a courageous leader. But he lacked what we cite as, you know, the most important bedrock attribute, and that's integrity. Or at least some people would say that he lacked integrity, certainly. And it really all starts with that. Does the person know the difference between right and wrong? You know, is he or she truthful? Does he treat everyone fairly? Is he a moral and just person? And without that integrity, you know, you might not have problems for a while, but when problems do arise, they're really going to cause problems, and it's going to cause a fall from grace for any leader. In the book, you know, we actually look at someone that's in the business world that was a superstar intellect. He was a Harvard Business School graduate. He worked at a top consulting firm, McKinsey. Then he was recruited to a little energy company in Texas, and he quickly ascended to the CEO spot. And people marveled at his intellect and his passion and his vision. This guy is a star. You know, there's nothing that's going to bring this guy down. You know, so what's this guy's name? Jeff Skilling. What company? Enron. What's he doing now? Well, he's got a new job. He's making license plates in a prison. He's serving about 20 years behind bars in a maximum security prison.
Well,
so ultimately, no matter how smart you are or passionate, you've got to have that integrity.
All right. And that's a very good point. And integrity is important. You use Jeffrey Skilling as a good example to exemplify somebody gone bad. But let me give you a more current reality and talk to me about integrity, because certain jobs, and certainly political jobs, require that sometimes you're not always truthful, not always forthright. And just a couple of Sundays ago, President Barack Obama was sitting at a roast for somebody and was talking about Osama bin Laden when he knew full well at that moment in time that we were sending people in to assassinate Osama bin Laden. And he had to sit there, and of course he couldn't come clean at that moment in time about the assassination plot. But I think when asked directly a question about Osama bin Laden, he sidestepped the question altogether. When you get into politics, there are some situations that do require that you be less than have less than integrity. What do you say to that?
That's a great point. And, you know, it's not to say that that Barack Obama doesn't have integrity. He certainly does. But it also requires another important attribute, which is called judgment. And judgment is able to your ability to contextualize the problem and just to be able to make good decisions. So you certainly, as president of the United States, don't want to give away your secret game plan to, and to go into detail about your plans to capture somebody you've been pursuing for 10 years that's, you know, the number one criminal in the world. So he was displaying discretion, and he was doing something with the broader goal of national security in mind. So he was actually keeping his cards close to the vest for a broader, more noble reason, and it wasn't for personal gain. It was just to make sure that he gave his troops and the country the greatest possible chance of success. So he didn't act without integrity. He was just displaying actually very good judgment, and he kept the broader goal of the country in mind.
There you go. We're talking to Jeffrey Kahn, everybody, author of the book, Why Are We Bad at Picking Good Leaders? A Better Way to Evaluate Leadership Potential. And we're going through the major attributes that you need to have. So integrity, judgment, we've talked about those two. What are some of the other attributes that we really need to look at in our leaders?
One thing that doesn't show up on a resume, but so important, and this is, you know, one of the reasons why you can't just look at past experience and track record, because it just doesn't show up on the resume, but it's something that we call empathy. And empathy really is the ability to put yourself in other people's shoes and understand what they're feeling and where they're coming from. So it's, a person that has great empathy can actually not only understand what makes somebody tick, but also adjust their own approach in a way that really resonates with different constituents and is able to click with them. So it's this combination of tick and click that really defines what empathy is. Can a person very quickly size up what's driving someone else, and then can they adjust their own approach in a way that really resonates well with that person and gets a good response out of them?
I love that, tick and click, when talking about empathy. What are some of the other characteristics, Jeffrey, that we need to look at?
So another one is sort of the converse of the empathy is emotional intelligence. So while empathy is very much externally focused, emotional intelligence is all about the inside. You know, how well do you know yourself? Are you self-aware? Do you recognize your own blind spots? Do you seek new ideas from other people? Do you like to learn and grow? And what we found, you know, when researching this book, my co-author Jay Moran and I found, is that a lack of emotional intelligence is the single biggest contributor to failure in a fundamentally new role. So what we'll often find is that we'll interview a leadership candidate, and he or she will go on for, you know, hours about all of their past accomplishments, what they've done, how they grew a business, you know, how they expanded into an Asian market, how they grew a new business. How great they are in essence. But when you put that person into a new role, the challenges are different. Or if you're recruiting, for example, a CEO into a new company, and that CEO hasn't obviously been at that company before, they're going to face a new culture. They're going to have a new strategy. They're going to have a new executive team. They're going to have completely different problems. So unless they're able to really question their own assumptions, to look, take a deep look inside and see what they know and what they don't know, and really actively seek the advice and counsel of others and surround themselves with an executive team that can round out their own blind spots, they're almost doomed to failure. And unfortunately, people, you know, especially at this level, can oftentimes have very strong egos. And they don't do the hard work of looking inside to see what their blind spots might be. So therefore, emotional intelligence is really, really important, and it's a big derailer.
All right, we're talking to Jeffrey Kahn, co-author of the book, Why We Are Bad at Picking Good Leaders. Now, Jeffrey, let's apply this. Let's have the rubber meet the road here just a little bit, and let's take a look at a political candidate who has now bowed out of the race, and let's apply some of your major characteristics that you look for in a candidate or in a leader to that person. And I'm talking about Donald Trump, who just recently dropped out of the presidential race. How would you rate him along the dimensions that you have for selecting a good leader?
Well, you know, I don't know if you guys remember the famous exuberant, charismatic boxing promoter Don King.
Of course.
Or for that matter, even, you know, Lindsay Lohan or Paris Hilton. But these are all, you know, very charismatic, charming people. People gravitate to them for one reason or the other. They have big, iconic brands. But, you know, do they have vision? Do they have good judgment? You know, do they have integrity? You know, I don't really think so. I don't know that much about Donald Trump in terms of his, you know, political background or his judgment. I know that he has good business judgment, but I really don't know what kind of vision or courage or passion that he has. It's really hard to tell, but my guess is he was much more about the charisma, and some people were attracted to him for that, but he really didn't have, you know, from as best I can see, the other attributes that are really necessary for leadership success.
We're talking to Jeffrey Kahn. And Jeffrey, that's exactly what I wanted to get out of you, because this is a conundrum that we all face when we're picking our political leaders. We don't really know all of the elements, all of the attributes that you have in your book. And I would say, in terms of judgment, here's a man who has been bankrupt as many times as he's been married. So it's really tough for him to stand up there for family values and fiscal conservatism under those lights. We're talking to Jeffrey Kahn, co-author of the book, Why We're Bad at Picking Good Leaders. Now, Jeffrey, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book?
Well, first of all, I hope you have a good time. You know, we talked to about 100 different leaders across all different kinds of domains. We talked to a lot of CEOs. We talked to university presidents. We talked to, you know, rock stars. We talked to Hollywood movie directors. You know, we talked to celebrity chefs. And these are all leaders in their own right. Even a chef, if you think about it, goes into the restaurant every day and has a team, and there's a lot of pressure on him or her to succeed and to get those dishes out hot and on time. And if one thing falls apart in the kitchen, you know, the whole night is really screwed up. So we look at a lot of different kinds of leaders, and we think that there are a lot of interesting, compelling stories. And that's the main thing for any reader. We want there to be good stories. But we also want the reader to walk away with a framework that they can use when they think about whether or not a leader is going to be successful, and so that they then can have a better conversation about the pros and cons of any leader, whether it's the president of the United States or something that hits closer to home, like their favorite basketball coach or their son's high school principal or the director, you know, a board director at their company, or somebody that they're considering promoting into a new position within their company. So we hope they enjoy the book and they enjoy the stories, but we also hope they walk away with a much better understanding of what it means to be an effective leader and then to make better decisions.
That's great. We've been talking to Jeffrey Kahn, everybody, co-author of the book, Why Are We Bad at Picking Good Leaders? A Better Way to Evaluate Leadership Potential. Jeffrey, if people are intrigued by what you have to say, they want to learn more, where would you direct them to go on the internet?
Oh, boy. Thanks for that plug. A couple ways. One is the website is www.pickingbetterleaders.com, or they could just email me directly if they like, and that's john@liag-advisors.com. Either way works.
Well, Jeffrey, thank you so much. It has been a real pleasure, a delight speaking with you. We'll talk to you down the road.
Great. I'm a big fan. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks so much, Jeffrey. Talk to you later.